Blog Talk Radio.
And I thank you for joining me here for another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments. Now, today is Tuesday, and as you guys know, Tuesday we have a pastor at High Main Worship Center located in Minneapolis, California. He will be on the teaching to help introduce what I want as it relates a lot of time. With our understanding of what stuff really means. Now, today's topic has to do with grace. And His grace is sufficient, and talking about the goodness of God's grace. Now, I'm waiting on Pastor Dan still to join us on the air. So I've already sent him the text message. So when we start talking about His grace, what do that mean? Now, grace is the most important concept of the Bible, and not only is it in the Bible, but we're talking about being a Christian and Christianity and the world and trying to gain an understanding of what that means by the term or word grace. Grace is the love of God and the unmerited favor of God. So it looks like the pastor has joined. So let me log him on so we can get started with the show.
Good morning,
everyone. Good
morning,
Pastor. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing really good. It's a blessing to be here again on another Tuesday morning. I like our topic on today. Thank you for allowing me to come on again. For our audience, my name is Pastor Dan Estelle, and I'm the senior pastor at the High Dominion Worship Center located in the beautiful city of San Marcos in North San Diego County. We are located at 800 West Mission Avenue, and our service time on Sunday is 12:30 noon, and also Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Today, we're going to be talking about grace, and of course, as Jeanette just said, it's God's unmerited favor.
Well, I know I should thank God for His grace, because I was so sleepy driving here this morning. I was got on the wrong freeway. I had to wake up. I was by Disneyland. I was like, Jeanette, where are you? Pastor, I didn't even know where I was. I was just driving. Please. I'm like, what the world am I doing? I had to call my clients. It was like, I'm on the wrong freeway, but can y'all get my burrito and just meet me over there at the office? But, yeah, I got to take a time out. I really got to take a time out because my mind ain't right. So when we talk about grace, Pastor, you know, we know that grace or the grace of God is everything in life of a believer. It is the answer to every question, because a lot of times when we're going through something, we want grace, we want mercy, we get them confused. Sometimes we look at it as a solution to every problem and the provision to meet any need. But the thing is, a lot of times we struggle with that, because as believers, we don't just need grace to get saved. We need grace in our everyday lives. So, Pastor, take the wheel, teach us about grace, and tell us what that really means in regards to that concept.
Grace is what I call God's ability to make room for the all of our shortcomings. It's God understanding the limitations of man, trying to live up to the standards of God, and that gap can never be met. And so as believers, we have to understand that there was only one man, the God-man, the divine man, Jesus, God, in the form of man, part man and part God. Jesus was the only one who could live up to God's standards. And so, therefore, you know, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And so we become saved because of God's unmerited favor. As Ephesians, I love what the second chapter of Ephesians says in verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace you are saved, through faith, And this is not from yourself at all. It is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so grace mm-hmm. is that grace is that factor, Jeanette, that takes away ego, that takes away name, brand, status, lineage. Grace takes all that away, because if not for the grace factor of the Lord, none of us would be able to live up to his biblical standards of man. So grace has mm-hmm. a component that strides it with the Holy Spirit. And so mm-hmm. what Ephesians is saying is it is by grace that we are saved. And so salvation cannot be bought with a price. Salvation is a gift. And what it's saying is it is by grace that we have been saved, that God made the way. God opened the way through his son Jesus, a path for us to meet salvation. And that verse goes on to say that we do it through faith. And so for me, you can't separate the Holy Spirit, faith, and grace. And they all work mm-hmm. on three different levels. And we've talked about faith on this show before, and we've talked about a dedicated show we had on the Holy Spirit. And now we're talking about the grace factor. And mm-hmm. for me, this is so important because it is God looking out for me. It is God mm-hmm. knowing me as an individual. If more than anything else, it speaks of our personal relationship with the Lord, so that God knows our areas that we need grace in. And it's through this, here comes a big word, that we are reconciled back to Christ. And so it is by that. And so what God wants us to do is to first understand this gift called grace, and how that God wants us to take it. And then I'm going to use the word pay it forward. And what he means by that is for us to get a thorough understanding of grace, okay, and what it really means, and then to take that grace and to pay it forward, to use it on other believers and non-believers. And so it's mm-hmm. important for us. I want to warn all the believers to take this to heart. Very important. Sometimes when we talk about grace, when we preach on grace, believers see it as a boring topic. And they say like, oh, grace, I got that. That's God. And it is a huge misconception, because I think people would do better if they understood grace. The Lord said in Revelation that in the last days, men's heart would wax cold. And he was talking about the church and the unchurched. And what he meant by that is that people are quick to forget. They're quick to forget good deeds done towards them. They're happy in the moment, and they forget. And if we truly understand grace, we would always be in a place of thankfulness. We will always be in a mindset of thanksgiving if we truly understood grace. And so for many people, if it had not been for God's grace, they would not be alive right now. They would mm-hmm. be breathing right now. Or alive but incapacitated. Alive but not in their right mind. And so God's grace is not only a huge component in the walk of a believer becoming saved, but God's grace is also there to help us escape the snares of the devil. Lots of times the enemy has plans laid out for us. The enemy has traps laid up for the believer. And lots of times the enemy has ensnared us. And if not for God's grace, in every single one of those scenarios I just gave, the situation could be so much worse. Mm-hmm. And so as we go into the various topics of today, and I think I've listed all of them, We want to, at first in mind, have the mindset of gratitude first. A word that goes along with grace has the same etymology almost. And when we show gratitude, it's easy for us to do this term that God wants the believers to do, to walk in grace. And so that's my introduction for today. I said a lot, and now we'll break down those various different topics that we brought up under the heading of grace.
You know what, Pastor, I want to thank you for that. And a lot of times, and like I said, and part of it is because we don't understand. And that's why I like doing these shows, because it's about teaching. It's about gaining a better knowledge, a better walk, a better relationship with God and the Word of God, because it's so often misinterpreted. And like they say, we got to be aware of false prophets. And last week when we were talking about coming up with a subject matter, and this that song that when he says, "How did I make it? How did I make it through the storms?" and he's talking about God's grace, that song kept ringing in my head and ringing in my head. So I said, "Okay, Lord, I hear you." So this got to be the topic. So that's why I just put it out there like that. Well, grace is love that cares and stoops and rescue. Grace is God's reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against him. And that's something that I'm seeing a lot, is because sometimes we don't think we deserve it. Now, I'm going to put it out there. I was dealing with a situation with my son, and I just got word today in regards to my son's situation. And it was through the grace of God, but now he knows he got to get himself together, because I got to tell that man last night, I'm not the one you really want to play with, and I'm doing my best to keep my mouth closed and not have to go to Arizona, because when I lawyer up, I lawyer up. But by that same token, I try to stay in my lane and let God be God and not everything be Jeanette, because I know my son be name dropping sometimes to keep them out of trouble. But it's not me. It's so not me, but I'm not going to let nobody mess with me or mine. But by that same token, sometimes when I tell people, when they talk about my son, I turned my son over to God a long time ago, and I can't take him back. Because if I take him back and I make it about me and I'm trying to do everything, he's not going to appreciate it. So life lesson learned, I hope he get it, and I thank my auntie and my sister. But grace is unconditional love towards a person who doesn't deserve it. Because sometimes they know they can be wrong. And you can still have the grace of God.
Right. I'd like to take that definition and add to it that can be or cannot be family. Because oftentimes when that definition is brought forth, people are looking at their family. And what we have to understand is that grace is how we are to look at mankind. It is those that are easy to love and those that are not easy to love, those that are good citizens and those that are not good citizens. And grace is given out in a measure also. So just as there's a measure of the Spirit, there's a measure of gifts, calling, there's a measure of grace. I think I want to deal with the first thing that we talked about. It was obvious you brought it up in your introduction. It came up in mine as one of the points. The first is unmerited. And so key points of that is that there is nothing humanly possible that a believer can do, to earn God's grace, okay? As individual and people, we say, they're in my good graces now. They're in my good graces. So we have individuals earn grace by doing such and such, by following rules, by showing that they can be complacent. And so it's a different standard between humans, between man to man, okay? But God's grace is unmerited, and he attaches the word favor to it. There's nothing that we can do that. This is God doing it because of everything I've looked at, is because God knows our entire life, and I'm talking about macro. And so what happens to us, Jeanette, is that when we, thank you for the grace. We're looking at single individual situations and times, like you. God, thank you for saving my son. Thank you, Mama. No, honey, it was God. It was great. And we're looking at God in different things. I think about the car accident that I had years ago. It was in the 90s, where a roll of carpet fell off the construction truck in front of me, a huge roll of carpet on the freeway, not on the road. So we're all doing 70, 80 miles per hour. And And I hit this carpet, and my car went airborne off four wheels or in the air. And I just cried out, Jesus, because there was a car to the left of me, car to the right of me, car behind me. And when I opened my eyes, Jeanette, I was on the side of the freeway, not on the freeway, okay? I was there. I was safe. My car was straight. And the only thing that happened was there was a little dent in my fender. I cannot explain that. I haven't ever tried to explain it. I just thank God for his grace. And so back to my point. My point is that God's grace is there because he can extend it, because it doesn't drain him. It doesn't drain him. God does not, oh, God's grace is getting empty. We're utilizing all the funds. No, God's grace is there because he can extend it. It's just like he says the rain and the sun. It falls on the just and the unjust. God's grace is there. And to me, it's irreverently there for our purpose. And what I mean by that is that God is going to get us from point A, from conception to point B or Z, to when we leave this earth. And in between that time, everybody has a purpose, and we all have purpose. And it's the enemy's job to keep us from that purpose. And so to keep us from producing a child that's going to be a superstar, from producing a business that's going to help millions, from producing, you know, a foundation that helps out the poor and needy and those things. And so God's grace comes in and interferes with the plan of the devil and interferes with our flesh and interferes with our emotions and our our snares that we trip ourselves upon, and looks at those and moves us past those because we have purpose. And I believe that when a person's purpose is gone, the grace is used up, the measure of grace that they have. And so God has us here not to be lazy, but to be active and to do something. God has us here to build his kingdom. And what grace does is at their our human and many people,
you know,
say
what, Pastor, your words were skipping.
Grace. Okay.
Can you hear me? Because it sounded like your words were skipping, and I know
okay.
that we kind of didn't. I missed out on what you were saying because it was skipping. Can you repeat that, please?
Yes. What I'm saying is that God's grace is there because it's connected to our purpose. It is there to make sure that we fulfill everything that God has for us to do on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
When the enemy comes to try and ensnare us, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, what I want to say is, as Christians, we live every day by the grace of God, and a lot of times it scares us. We receive forgiveness according to the riches of God's grace, and the grace drives our sanctification. So when we start talking about our purpose and finding our purpose, a lot of times we run from our purpose. And like I said, that's always been my son's issue, is just running from your purpose. But you got to be careful with that. You really do, because the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. And when we talk about that and we start living our godly lives and finding our purpose, Pastor, how can you, what would you tell a person? Because you can see the good in individuals and you see that they've been under, we'd be like, Lord, the grace, the mercy, we compare the two, we talk about the two, but there is a difference. But how do you even help guide someone or help them even figure it out? Because you tell them to go to God, but they mad at God or they don't trust God or they struggling with that. But finding a purpose, because that's a whole other topic within itself.
Well, first of all, it's grace is having us in place, having individuals, having counselors, having pastors, having people that will give their time to encourage. That's part of the grace factor. That's part of us giving back what God has given us. Now, it is up to us to, at that point in time, to explain to them what grace means. Grace means that in you know, in response to what you were saying, an individual mad at God. I always say to that individual, first off, that doesn't change who God is, number one. It doesn't change what God has for you, grace and favor and purpose, number two. Number three, God is God. You being mad doesn't change his program, doesn't stop him, doesn't alter anything for him. With people, oh, you mad at me? Oh, well, then you need to go talk to somebody else then. You can't come to me with your stank attitude and all this and think that I'm going to bless you and going to give you something. That's people. And so for an individual hearing that, God will still listen to you. God will listen to you. Because when a person is angry, a believer or a Christian, and they might be mad at God, it doesn't mean they backslid, and it doesn't mean that they no longer believe in God in most cases. It just means they're dealing with disappointment, okay, and they're dealing with a negative situation. And what this does is alter our perception and our understanding, and that affects our emotion. And now we appear angry. And what we don't have is the answer. And what the answer is that keeps us from things, even though they will make us angry. God disappoints us in situations and circumstances, even though they will make us angry, because it's better for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time for people to see that. God kept you from that man. God pulled this person from your life. God got you out of that situation. God got you out of that home. God got you out of that car, out of that contract. God got you away from this deal that you thought was going to be everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we can't see in the moment is, again, because we're thinking the micro. We're looking just at that situation, but in the big picture, God sees it all. And what God sees is that this is actually me giving you grace and favor right now. You just don't know it. Because
mm-hmm.
what happens is we always think grace is a lot. Grace is a cake. We always think that grace
mm-hmm.
and favor is wrapped and has a bow on it, okay? Oftentimes, grace and favor is not seen to later on. Favor and grace is not seen to after we become sober. God,
mm-hmm.
God gets us out of a situation. Our minds still aren't right, and then we get right, you know. I know this from many years of counseling. I know you do too, Jeanette, also.
Mm-hmm.
I've said on this show before, I've married over 200 couples, and some of them have gotten divorced. And I knew one young man who it took him 4 years to get back in the right place after his divorce. He was so hurt. And every time I see him, Thomas, what's going on, Tom? He said, Pastor, you know that was the love of my life. Thomas, boy, you got to go on. She moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not till 4 years later till he understood that God did him a favor, that God gave him grace, that what the Lord did for him was grace. He was mad at God, and it
mm-hmm.
took him time. And he could have come to that conclusion sooner, but as I said earlier, the human element was in the way. Now, what changed? Grace again. God had prepared someone for him that came into his life who he didn't know was, because he couldn't see because of what he was still dealing with. And
mm-hmm.
now he saw how God's grace was working with him. Also, as I say many times, when God does something for the believer on their behalf, he's working on many points, many levels. And what God did
mm-hmm.
also from removing this person from his life, it made him a better Christian, okay? He was a casual Christian with his wife, with his first wife, okay? He was a carnal believer with her.
Mm-hmm.
And through this situation that he thought was just God turning his back on him, and then finding a mate now, his second mate, that loved the Lord, and then 2 years being with this other mate, now he's in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But see, God's seen that from the beginning. And so, and that's why I wanted to use those two words, the micro and the macro, the big picture, and his purpose. And so
mm-hmm.
now we see how purpose tied into that in that scenario. And so it's important for us to understand that God don't care, and I don't want to use that word loosely. God cares about us, and he loves us all, but I'm saying it in an intelligent way, that it does not change who God is when you call yourself being mad at God and doesn't think that his grace is moving in your life.
Mm-hmm. Because it's funny, because as we're talking, I'm sitting up here texting my son's attorney, and he's trying to tell me about what happened today, but I was just telling him thanks, because I've been trying to keep my butt out of this mess over a family fight. My son had a fight with his cousin, apparently, and with two relatives fighting, and they don't realize that a lot of times we'd be thinking sisters fighting sisters, brothers fighting brothers, cousins fighting cousins. Shoot, they was trying to lock my son up for the rest of his life over a fight with his cousin. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So, through his grace and his mercy, so mm-hmm. you got favor, so we'll see how this goes. But I bet you next time he won't be talking about, he'd be seeing his cousin, better run all the way.
It's an interesting point that you brought that up. We might have to talk about that on another show, but because it's happened so much that
mm-hmm.
people don't understand, you have to keep your hands to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Assault is assault. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I just barely pushed him. That's assault. I just barely touched him. That's assault. You can get away with that as little kids. Oh, Dad, I just barely pushed thing and that. But people have to understand that. Walking around thinking that you badder than bad, thinking that can't nobody touch me and this and that, you're going to be broke, you're going to need a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to be in jail, because more and more people understand that now. More and more people understand how to press charges, and you're going to be asking God for grace.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to understand that now. And so in any situation, The police coming in, and they looking for who got the bruise, who
mm-hmm.
got the mark on them, who got the
mm-hmm.
bruise, who got the mark on them. And we can't allow people to bait us into those situations and then have the next word that I wanted to talk to in regards to grace, have pride interfere with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so pride, Jeanette, is the downfall of every believer. And pride is for sure a grace stopper.
Yep.
And pride is what got Satan, for all of us believers, in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament and Daniel, that got Satan kicked out of heaven. And pride comes before the fall, the Bible tells us. And if you have failed from God, we also call that the fall from grace. You've heard that term, right, Jeanette?
Mm-hmm.
Satan's fall from grace.
Have.
Okay. That's a connotation, Jeanette, that the presence of the Lord is grace. I want us to stop. You can hear the excitement in my voice for that, knowing that the presence of the Lord is better than, you know, Barbados on a hot summer day on vacation with plenty of money in the bank and nothing to do but retirement the rest of your life. The presence of the Lord is better than having all the money in the world and every foundation and wanting to do. The presence of the Lord is better than all the Disneyland amusement parks put together. You just want to ride all day, because the fall from grace means escaping the presence of the Lord or being kicked out of God's presence.
Grace.
And being kicked out of God's presence is utter darkness, okay? And so let me explain that. If I'm going through a trial, I'm still in the presence of the Lord. If I'm going through an experience, a circumstance that's testing my faith, I'm still in the presence of the Lord. And so God is there watching over all of that, and his promise is, I won't put no more on you than you can bear. His word is there to encourage us. The Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us. And now God's grace is there to let the devil know, as cataclysmic as it may look, you will not get this one. You will not get her. You will not get him that has my seal on them. You will not
mm-hmm.
get them. And that's the grace of God. We always think that the grace of God is just our good days. No, but we're in the grace of God also in our bad days, because our bad days would be worse without the grace of God. Okay? I remember once I got a traffic ticket, and I said, well, Lord, you know, the first thing you're thinking, God, why me? Everybody on the freeway driving the same as me. You know, we all here on the freeway. Mm-hmm. You know, we all doing the same speed, and he pulled me over. And I'm like, come on, Lord. I'm like, what you? And then the man pulled me over, and he goes through all his thing, and he wrote me up for this. And then because I was polite and because I called him sir and because I said, here it is, here's my license, here's the insurance, here's this, and because I didn't get out of my car and because I didn't do all these things, he said, you know what? I'm going to rewrite this ticket. He says, I'm taking this. And he's like, you know, he goes, Mr. Estelle, I can pull over anybody and cite them for anything. And he says, you know what? But I'm going to reduce the speed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I said, thank you, sir. And he said, you have a good day now, sir. And I said, okay. And then I still had a ticket. You understand? But
mm-hmm.
I thank God for the grace. Because instead of having a $150 ticket, which I could write off anyway through my business, you know, that could have been a $600 ticket, you know?
Yes, it could.
It could have escalated to so many other things. And so I thank God for his grace, even in the negative situation. You know, our children get sick, but it could be so much worse. You know, situations happen in our home. I remember you a few shows ago, and even in church, you talked about how your house flooded. And I was
mm-hmm.
thinking, like, God is good because they caught it in time. They came in. You had insurance. You know, you ain't got to deal with mold. Because I've known people that had to be out of that house for 2 months. I've known people that,
three
you know,
houses
the insurance
flooded.
Didn't help them. Yeah. But
ooh.
But great.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
that's how I wanted to explain them to that is to understand that God's grace is still with us, even
yes.
in that negative side, even in those detrimental situations. Because I want you to know that Satan had worse in mind for you. The devil had
mm-hmm.
worse in mind for you. Okay, but thank God for his grace.
Grace, that's true. And Pastor, when we talk about the sufficiency, and our efficiency, my grace is sufficient for you, meaning 2 Corinthians 2:9, it says God
yes.
is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times you may abound in every good work. And that is true, because sometimes things just seem like it's just so much. It's just so much to bear. And it's crazy because as you were speaking, I was thinking about my drive today. When I looked around, I was at Disneyland. And I wasn't supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm like, how the heck I get to Disneyland? You
have a lot on your mind.
I got
a
whole
lot
on my mind. I'm at Disneyland. I said, Lord, I should just go to the theme park and just go chill out today. But no, I got too much to do. But that is true. Now, when we talk about in regards to even, like I said, in our, you know, talking about the grace, the mercy, and help and time and need, because it seems like, Pastor, even for believers and non-believers, because you can take a non-believer, but let him get in trouble. Lord, he's going to
mm-hmm.
be calling grace, mercy, and mama
mm-hmm.
and daddy and anybody else that can get him in trouble. And we have to do better with that. We really do. And like you talked about, finding your purpose and part of understanding God's word and what God plans is for in our lives, because many of us struggle with that. Because we talk about if it's sufficient, I mean, it's enough because we have the grace of God. But then by that same token, we have to walk in that grace too. So now I'm going to let you finish, Pastor.
Yes. Well, two things. The most important thing is that I'm sticking with what I said from the beginning, the micro and the macro. So every believer in the scenario you said has been a non-believer.
Mm-hmm.
And when we become believers, we always like to look at folks as being unsaved. God doesn't see people like that because God sees our whole life. And when we look at it from a God perspective biblically, everyone who is going to bow that knee to him and be saved on that day is saved now, whether
mm-hmm.
during our lifetime they're saved or unsaved at this particular moment. And And case in point, you and I both know people who we thought was, Lord, you know, they ain't gonna never, and some of them are sitting in pulpits right now, because we have lived long enough, Jeanette, to see God's grace work.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that statement? We have lived long enough to see God's grace work. There are some people that may have thought like, whoa, she ain't coming out of this, and he ain't coming out of that, but they don't know grace. Okay. And so now I'm taking that non-believer, believer status, and now I'm going to work with that word sufficient. And sufficient means is that there's nothing on this earth that's kryptonite to grace.
Mm-hmm.
For the believer in their right mind, for the believer that loves the Lord, that's trying to follow the Lord with everything that they have. I'm gonna walk back on that right mind, because sometimes we're not in our right mind and God's grace is still covering us. So I had to walk that back. But talking about it being sufficient, it is for the believer to understand there's nothing too heavy, nothing too hard. A few weeks ago, we talked about suicide. We got into it just a little. We haven't talked about it on a full show yet. But...
Mm-hmm.
But every person, every believer, every person, you know, that got to the place of suicide, I have to extrapolate from an intellectual standpoint that they might have forgotten about grace, that what was on their mind, predicament, situation, the treatment of depression even, had gotten to such a debilitated state that the enemy got them to a place where they forgot or couldn't bring to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to understand, because darkness produces darkness.
Right.
And so I tell people, go ahead.
You know, Pastor, I just talked about that yesterday. Yesterday's show, Monday, was suicide prevention. So we did talk about that.
And so it's important for us to understand that I'm going to talk some what I call buzzwords, and especially this is for believers. I've had friends saved, sanctified, having to deal with homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And how people treat them and being ostracized. These are people that are dealing with a sexual situation, but at the same time, they love the Lord and they're trying to find, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find their place. And what happens is God extends grace, but people don't.
Correct.
I hope my listeners heard me. God extends grace, but people don't. And so, when God labels sin, we want to highlight and differentiate between sin, but all sin is sin to God. And then the only thing that God says difference is that the liar, and so even God, when he made the list, he said, the liar I hate the most. He put that higher than the homosexual. And there's a lot of sin, gluttony, there's crime, theft, greed, you know, lying, all those that we listed. And when he says, my grace is sufficient, God knew that list. On Sunday when I preached, I talked about having anger, wrath, malice, you know, in 2 Corinthians, mm-hmm. when I was brought my message, when we deal with all of those things. And so I put the list out there for the believers to understand. And so now that God has extended that grace to us, we have to extend that grace to people. We have to mind our own business. You know, we have to, when we see people, pray for them. Pray for ourselves first and then pray for people. And pray that God's purpose become evident in their life. And pray that God's, you know, love becomes volumes in their life. And that it is used to build the kingdom of heaven. To speak that way, because we have ostracized, we have, you know, talked about downtrodden people and just not used the same grace that God has given us. And I can look at my own situation, and we all can, Jeanette, and you know, see people who being put in a place of power now and sitting at the judgment seat to judge others, forget about what God had done for them.
Done for them. And that's true.
And that is that is a place where we don't want to be. Making applicable to right now, the sentencing just came down on Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby,
I'm not getting into that situation for anybody. All I'm saying is how it applies to our topic for today. Now they're saying that he might get just 3 to 10 years in prison. And to a lot of people, that's going to seem easy. To me, I'm saying that the judge is giving him grace. And to some people, they're going to say it's too much. And so we all have our different, you know, opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But what matters only is God's opinion. And so only God, yes, only God can judge us all. And so when we see that, somebody may say, well, how can you still call that grace when he still is going to get 3 years, when he might end up with 6 or 5? Because it could have been 30, and he could have died in prison. And now there's a possibility, we both know how the law works, that if he ends up with 3 years with good behavior, he might just do 1. And
correct.
And because of other things, you know, a man of his stature, he might end up going to a place that we call a retirement center anyways instead of a prison. It's still going to be called prison, but it, you know, he, you know, you understand what I'm saying? And so when it's all said and done, he got grace.
And that's the difference between man and God, and getting the favor of God. Because, I mean, we don't, it's like one thing I used to love about Pastor Hammond, he used to say, I'm out of heaven or hell to put you in. And a lot of times the punishment don't always fit the crime. And I'm going to go back to my son's situation. What was pissing me off was they was trying to say, if he take a deal, he can go to prison. If he go to trial, he can go to prison. My son said, well, I might as well go to trial. And, okay, you're right, especially if you're talking about a fight. If you're talking about having a fight with another family member and you're going to go to prison, let me take my chances on going to trial if that's the case. But it seems like it wasn't even about my son no more. It was about the DA and the attorney and the court system in Arizona, which makes absolutely no sense.
Right, making points and trying to, better their careers and,
correct. Yes. And that's where, when you're talking about God's favor, and you pray that the judge, you pray that the doctor, you pray that the surgeon, you know, and is doing the right thing, because only God can judge you. And it's just crazy. It's just so crazy. And, you know, and Pastor, even though you said we weren't going to bring that up about Bill Cosby, because we got other people that's supposed to be going through some things, too, that's going to need to be sentenced.
Yes.
And a lot of times individuals are not taking into consideration the age, you know, when it happened. You know, there's a lot of stuff. And when people get their emotions involved and start taking it personal, things are different until it comes to them or their child or their family member. And then they start seeing things differently. You talked a little bit about the homosexuality, and the same thing with individuals that had terminal illness when people were diagnosed with HIV. Remember how individuals were getting treated?
Yeah.
Until it started hitting close to home. You know, we talk about people's occupations, you know, and you want to judge them, but we got to do better. We really got to do better. And like I said, and that's where it, when I put that, you know, God's grace versus man's grace, because man can't give us the type of grace that God can give us. And a lot of times, even when we start talking about the difference between grace and mercy, because a lot of times individuals get that confused. Now, I have some information, and it talks about we can all extend grace to others, but when the word grace is used in connection with God, it takes more of a more powerful meaning, because that's when you also start seeing miracles, and you be like, well, how did that happen? Well, how did they get the favor? And how did, why, da, 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 da. We don't know why it happened the way it did with Bill Cosby, and it's not up to for us to know why.
Yeah.
But like I said, we all gonna have our turn. All gonna have our turn.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we have to understand. You know, grace and mercy are not the same. The difference mm-hmm. is mercy, just for the sake of the call today, is God not punishing us for our sins that we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So mercy is Cosby exactly. It's you did the crime, you did the sin, okay? This is what the law says, and this is what you actually deserve, okay? And it's gonna, and now this is what you deserve, and so you're not getting punished severely as you is.
Mm-hmm.
And grace is God blessing us despite the fact, okay, that we do not deserve it. Because remember, it's unmerited. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have both of those examples here when it comes to Cosby. And that's what we should understand. We could throw the full book of the law at you. Okay? But I'm going to have mercy on you. Same thing with
mm-hmm.
our parents. I'm going to have mercy on you. Okay? Now, grace is, like I said, because you have a future, you have purpose, okay? We don't want this incident to stunt your growth, to kill you, to knock you off. So grace is the blessing, okay, despite the fact that you don't deserve it, because there's good for you,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so now grace is, you can take it and stretch it out and say, it's extending kindness to the unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, unworthy? Who are you talking about? And so it's not me, right? It's not me comparing myself to you, Jeanette. It's me
mm-hmm.
comparing myself to the standard of God. Then I say, ah,
mm-hmm.
oh, I see. It's me comparing myself to Jesus. Ah, oh, I see. Okay, I get it now. So it's not me saying, but I'm so much better. Since I'm a pastor, I know bishops that are worse than me, God. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. That's not how it works. And so we have to understand that. Because so many times, believe it or not, you hear people say, well, such and such is worse than me, and such and such is this, and such and such is this. And they're not on the hot seat at this particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know
what,
Pastor, that reminds me of little kids. Kids do that all the
mm-hmm.
time. That's like taking it to the playground. Well, so-and-so said, and so-and-so did. My mother used to say, you're not so-and-so. So she broke us from that a long time ago. We couldn't even get away with
right.
that as kids. Well, they did
right.
it, and their mama didn't get them a whooping. Well, I'm not their mama. So
right.
That didn't work in our household. It really didn't.
So that's how we wanted the people to understand the difference between grace and mercy. And so
mm-hmm.
I wanted people to have a really good understanding that God will do that because he's God. God extends kindness to the unworthy. And we see this and we're like, and God makes it clear, the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. The sun shines upon the just and the unjust. And what happens is the people who like the tax code the best are people who understand how to manipulate the tax code,
mm-hmm.
and they know how to address it. And some of those people will go as far as to elect people to write specific law for them because they have so much power. And these are people that are able to use their human power and their status and their wealth to manipulate the rules to work for them. And even in the midst of men being unfair and doing those things, there is still God's grace. What that
mm-hmm.
means is, just as we said earlier in the topic, is if you are dialed into your purpose, if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing as far as God is concerned, worshiping, giving God praise, reading your word, learning more about him. I can sum that up in one word, relationship. Have relationship with God. There are no rules. There are no status quo or anything on this earth that can stop you because of the word grace, because of God extending grace. It washes away everything. It cleanses you from everything. You're able to stand in the presence of God because of grace. You're able to cry out his name because of grace. You're able to say, I am his child, only because of grace. And that's what we have to understand.
You know, Pastor, that I don't know why it's popping in my head again. Everything is popping in my head all at one time. When the word in it says, I am a sinner saved by grace. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because that just popped into my spirit.
Well, it's another one of those verses where people don't chew on, don't spend a lot of time contemplating or doing research on. And that's what they have to understand. For you being a professional counselor, me being a spiritual pastoral counselor, we understand it from dealing with people and understanding that if an alcoholic has in his mindset, I've been sober 10 years, but I'm still an alcoholic, it helps keep him sober. It helps keep him in sobriety. And so by sinners saying that I'm a sinner saved by grace, when a sinner digests that and put that in their mind, they have to know, I'm only one thought away from sinning. I have to understand that. I can't see myself, you know, as a victor over sin right now. That's why there's grace, okay? So I'm a sinner saved by grace. But because I have that salvation through God, because I have that relationship now, Jesus' blood covers me when I do sin. I can repent for it, okay? The Lord says, repent, walk away, turn away from it, don't do it again. And God's grace is sufficient that I don't have to deal with the G word, guilt. Okay? So I'm not going to let this person, even myself hold me in guilt when I know that the Lord has forgiven me. I understand that. And then I'm comfortable in my skin also, Jeanette, by saying that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Some people aren't. Some people are like, honey, I'm a Methodist. No, I'm Kojic. I'm a Baptist. No, I'm Pentecostal. I'm charismatic. We don't, I'm evangelical free. We don't even think that way. You know, I'm once saved, always saved, child. No, you are a sinner saved by grace. Don't get it twisted. Don't get caught up. That's how the devil deceives people, tricks people, because it's getting us caught up in other people's standard, okay? It gets us caught up in other people's direction. I heard something the other day. Jeanette, you might have known this, but I didn't. I didn't know that one of my idols, you know, earthly idols, T.D. Jakes, that his daughter got pregnant at 13.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yeah,
I didn't know
she
that. Did. And he
but you know
about,
what? He's an awesome event.
It's an awesome event. It's an awesome testimony, all of it. I read it all. I sat down. I digested it. She is preaching the gospel right now. You know, what it did was took her to her purpose. The grace of God forgave her. You understand? And the grace that her parents extended to her. And so it's an incredible story. Sounds like you're breaking up. I'm breaking up. And so, because people thought,
I know, it didn't mean, but true.
Okay, we're back. The people thought that, this is going to be his downfall. This is going to be, actually, the Lord launched him higher.
Mm-hmm.
What I said? And there's not one of us sitting here as a parent that would say, you know, to get to the next level, Lord, go and get my 13-year-old daughter pregnant or have my son who's 13 impregnate a woman. God works in mysterious ways. And what the Lord did, you know, what the Lord did in that situation and and it's a testimony for all of us. It's a testimony because, you know, it was set out on the stage, and there was no way around it. But you see the young lady now. She's a woman going forth in the Lord, married with power. And that's what God's grace does. It accelerates us. It accelerates us to our purpose.
You see, the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. And like I said, I could use it like with my two children. Now, my daughters, well, work for sure. Probably never gave me no problems. Even with him, whatever you do, like I said, on time of the God, you can't bring me down based on what he do. And what it did was it educated and inspires me, and he comes to me for strength. I'm a little girl, and I realize that. But even with T.D. Jake's daughter, yes, she's doing well. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to tuck your daughter into going because I already got my ticket to the Woman That Art Loose Convention in October.
Yeah.
So, and I know she's going to also be speaking. Because people don't realize, even being a minister's child, daughter, I mean, who your parents are, that right there is the temptation. They deal with so much.
They deal with a lot.
And
but I want you to.
Something like that, and still got you, deal with a lot.
Well, I want you to think about the grace that T.D. Jakes extended to the young man that got his daughter pregnant. Now, I would have, we're locking you up. You're going to jail, you know. I'm about to beat you, and everybody else going to knock you out and all this stuff. And but to look at it from grace and to say, okay, we here now. We recognize the situation. We talked about it. How are we going to move forward? How are we going to move forward? Okay, how are we going to take this and turn something good out of it? That's grace.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to take this and manifest it to be a blessing for the kingdom? How are we going to take this situation that the enemy is trying to use as negative? Okay, how? Grace. Show grace. Use grace. Take grace, the power of grace, and pour it out. Pour it on the situation and watch it dissolve. The evilness, watch it dissolve the bitterness, watch it dissolve the anger, watch grace dissolve the ill feelings, and watch grace now come and bring love. That's what grace does. It dissolves away, it dissolves away what we would do in the flesh. Now it's telling us to look at this thing, look at this situation now how Jesus would. And now it brings to mind the grace that God is showing us. So now let's take that grace now and pay it forward. And so it's important for the believers to understand this, to keep in mind how the measure of grace we're getting each day, the big events in our life where God has just poured out a huge portion of grace upon us, and how we can take that grace now and use it to help people mature and grow in the Lord and go forward in their ministry. Amen.
And that is true, Pastor. It was funny when you were saying that. I could see Mother calling me, talking about, baby, what are you doing? Come get me. Me and Mother getting in trouble. That's right. That's what the key, like, baby, what you doing? Okay, here I come, Mother, here I come. So,
you go.
But you know, and that's true. And the thing is, and that's the thing with the grace and the mercy, because only because we have situations, but God can deliver us from that. We can repent. We can ask for forgiveness. We can let our pride go, because the pride can be our downfall, and we don't have to live in guilt and shame. And don't be embarrassed. Once God has forgiven you, once God has said, you know what, I know you messed up, but this is how we're going to clean you up, you keep it pushing. Keep it pushing. So, Pastor, what words of encouragement do you want to give them before we end? Because we got a few seconds left. I'm trying to see if we have any questions. I'm scrolling through this. But what do you want to leave them with, Pastor?
Yeah. In the final few seconds we have, I just want to add to everybody is that God's grace has no favorites, okay? God's grace is not just for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God's grace is not just for Moses and Elijah. God's grace is for all of his children, saved and unsaved, and he has an unsaved